You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. And this episode, we're doing our TMZ Illuminate Confirm. You know this type of show. You know this format. We're going to go through all the pop culture goodies since the last episode of our TMZ Illuminate Confirm. And this one is going to be a bizanger. I'm not even playing with you hoes. Let's goes. I got my Himalayan salt lamp plugged in. I got my wrestling hair, my 80s wrestling hair. We're going to talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. We're going to talk about Lotto. We're going to talk about Ghislaine Maxwell at Disney. For all you people who aren't into these rappers and stuff. We're going to talk about Dua Lipa and Meg Thee Stallion and their video for Sweetest Thing. And about how that's the Aleister Crowley Scarlet Whore of Babylon. Yeah, that's right. And then we're going to wrap up with a mega deep dive. Will Smith. It ain't over yet. The saga ain't over. And you got to hear this. This is going to be the third sort of show. Because it's going to take up a good chunk of this show. Maybe half of the show. Maybe a third of the show. We're going to talk about Will Smith. And you're not going to believe some of the ideas we're going to float. We're going to talk about August Alsina. Talking about curses. I mean, this show is going to be full of insane-ass stuff, so strap in, because we're about to get into it. A couple of mini stories, a couple of nothing burgers here that I just want to hit on real quick. Lady Gaga and Helen Mirren were at the 22 SAG Awards. I didn't watch that. This is something that was floating around a bunch on the social medias. But Helen Mirren stops Lady Gaga and shows her the Mano Cornudo devil horns, and Lady Gaga replies with the same thing. They kind of greet each other with this weird, I don't know, Illuminati hand gesture? Real bizarre. You got to see the video. There's not much more on that. I looked up Helen Mirren. She's just some boring British actress, I guess. I don't know. The U.S. Supreme Court nominee, I'm gonna butcher the name, Ketanji Brown Jackson, went through the confirmation process, right? And Lala on Twitter tagged me and Adam Curry on a thread that points out some very strange things. Now, of course, Judge Jackson is in Washington, D.C., so maybe this isn't that peculiar. I don't know. But do you recall the Comet ping pong shooter, right? The guy who showed up with an assault rifle trying to get into the basement to, I don't know, pull Hillary Clinton out or whatever he was going to do, right? He got sentenced in 2017 and did 4 years. So he's actually out right now. And what's curious is that Ketanji Brown Jackson was the judge over his case. But, I mean, she is in Washington, D.C., right? Still a little odd, right? I'm sure there's several judges there, I would guess. I don't know. But it is odd that this whole... Because when you trace the advent of conspiracy theory popularity, it does go back... Because I've been doing this for over 10 years now, and I track and sort of follow people and what they're consuming. It really took root and took off with those... emails, the pizza emails that to this day have yet to be explained, and that spawned a whole bunch of stuff and a lot of disinformation psyops, I argue, fell out from that. So anyway, that it was odd, right? But you know, she's in DC, maybe it's not that odd. I don't know. All right, now let's get into the good stuff, the fun stuff. 6ix9ine, my man. Oh, I do some housekeeping. Sorry. Maybe I am going to play with you hoes. I did a giveaway on Instagram recently, and if you are one of the 10 winners, I sent you a DM. I announced the winners on a video. I sent you a direct message, so check those and get back at me so I can send you your stuff. You're going to hear more from our grand prize winner, Rock and Roll Space Witch, hopefully soon here. We're working it out. And also... another pitch, if you want to support this show, if you want to go ad-free, if you want to unlock over 100 bonus episodes that the supporters only get, including the 4 mega bangers I'm dropping this month. You got to hit the link in the show notes. I got 3 supporter feed options. You got to compare them and see which one you like. You can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and hit the VIP tab, and you can compare the 3. They each have their own ups and downs. All ups, of course. It's just which ups do you want. All right, that's enough. Let's move along. We got a lot to get through today. I'm going to try to get this done in an hour, but I got to move. And you got to move with me, so let's go. 6ix9ine, Tekashi 6ix9ine, you know him. One of my favorite rappers of all time. You know, I know people say, oh, he's a rat. Maybe. Don't care. I separate the art from the artist, and I enjoy his music. So I'm very excited. He's dropping a new album Friday, April 15th. And he dropped a teaser video. He's been absent from Instagram for many, many months. And he dropped a teaser video, and it's got some very demonic vibes. He says, the demon is back April 15th. I'm the beast they couldn't contain. The industry's most hated animal. April 15th, the King of New York is coming back. I'm going back home. Because notoriously, he ratted out members of this gang that he was rolling with to get a lighter sentence. Now, in his defense, because I will point out in his defense, he claims, look, they violated street code first. They were sleeping with his baby mama. They kidnapped his ass. They stole money from him. They violated it first. So I don't know. I don't live by a street code. It makes sense to me, though. I'm kind of like, yeah, I guess so. I think if someone did those things to me, I would also be like, screw it, man. I'm not going to spend 50 years in the clink for you. So, hey, you know, it is what it is. But he has, in fact, been sort of shadow banned by the whole music industry, which is kind of weird, right? Like, what do they care about street cred? They should care about making money. Anyway, he's calling himself a demon now. He's calling himself the Beast. And he's coming back on a Christian holiday of, not a holiday, a Christian commemoration day, observance day called Good Friday, right? It's obviously the day that Christ died on the cross for our sins. Why would he do this? Why would he do this? Is he aligning himself to the energies of a deity? Is he doing the classic rapper trope of saying, look, I am a god? He tells you, I am the beast. He's not a god. He's a form of God, the evil god. He's Satan, right? His video, in fact, shows him dying and being reborn. Which, and if you watch the video, it's only a minute, it shows what a chick that looks like a witch to me. She looks like a blonde Marina Abramovich, to tie us into the pizza talk earlier. She looks kind of like Aleister Crowley. And she dunks him into this massive bathtub. Yes, massive bathtub. Ain't that something? In fact, I think we're going to talk about the bathtub today. Well, maybe not. Maybe we should go into that real quick. I don't want to get off the beaten track. Let's talk about bathtubs for a second. Because she dunks him in the bathtub. You know, this is a... And I've talked about this many times in the past. But I know some of you are brand new. To understand why this matters, it goes back to all these ancient cultures and ancient mystery schools, and they worshiped, well, not worshiped, they used attributes of nature to understand what God was. For instance, water, right? The element of water, very important to life. You need it. And the Egyptians, they called God Neter, or nature, because nature was God, sort of, right? Nature provides for us. And water, obviously, is something we need. They would watch the ebb and flow of the Nile River and base a bunch of holidays upon that kind of thing, right? The point is that nature is God. Nature creates life. And in alchemy, which came, again, from the same time frame and culture of ancient Egypt, the hidden arts of creation given to man from this alien god Thoth, or Hermes Trismegistus. In alchemy, the inverted triangle stands for water. It represents the subconscious mind. Also represents the passive elements of intuition or emotion or the feminine nature. And we're not talking about gender roles. We're talking about the law of opposites or polarities that they talk about, right? The opposing force would be the masculine energies of fire and the active principle, the conscious mind. So you've got like the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, and the water represents the subconscious mind or the moon, okay? And in witchcraft, in Kabbalah, they employ the same interpretation. All right. Now, when you look at Kabbalah, which is again this Jewish mysticism that goes back many years, they participate in what they call a mikveh. It's a bath, but not for cleansing of the body. It's a bath for a cleansing of the soul, for purity of the soul. They use it to get rid of the evil. They want to rid the body of evil. And, you know, they do a bit of fasting and whatnot to do this. You can watch Kenneth Anger's Lucifer Rising, which we're going to talk about today a little bit. And you can see this happen in the mikveh ritual that the Kabbalist does. And in witchcraft, in Wicca, they also do this cleansing ritual in the tub. It prepares the subconscious mind because of the element of the water, right? And it signals the subconscious mind that it needs to get ready to do some work. So to bring it back, in this video, 6ix9ine, who looks like he's hanging out with a witch, gets dunked into the bathtub, preparing the subconscious mind for the transformation, for the passage, right? The passage of the goddess, or the god at this point, right? Because he's dropping it on Good Friday to align his energies with Christ. So anyhow, in the video, he gets dunked in the bathtub and he tells us he has to die to be reborn. Well, that's what she says. She says, you have to die to be reborn, but don't be scared. And he comes back and the beast has awoken. He's crossed over, like you see in the film Inception with the greatest actor of all time, Leo DiCaprio. They dunk in the water to cross over. They bury into the subconscious mind through the bathtub. Get it? See how these occult arts are hidden in your favorite entertainment? Now, to stay talking about the rappers, Fivio Foreign, also a very popular rapper right now, he has been posting that, look, he's like, look, I'm the king of New York, 6ix9ine, you're a rat. You're a rat. And 6ix9ine responded by talking about how Fivio Foreign's friend just got killed, implying that Fivio hasn't been doing anything to retaliate, because that's street code. Because he's so worried about billboards and selling records right now. Because that's what 6ix9ine's been doing. He's been calling out a lot of these rappers who claim they're living by the code of the streets and they're condemning 6ix9ine and his actions. And he's like, look, you guys are fake-ass gangsters too. You ain't doing nothing. And, you know, he's not wrong. If you look at a lot of this rap gang culture, I think Lil Durk, who's supposedly, you know, this killer, his, like, I don't know, his brother or his best friend just got killed or something. I don't know. I don't get into it too much, right? But the interesting idea is that Fivio Foreign, he is blowing up. Like, he's really big right now. Sounds like his best friend got killed. Is it the blood sacrifice ritual? I don't know. That's one argument. They say that these artists commit some kind of blood sacrifice to get the, you know, the energies and the doorways to open up for them. So that's 6ix9ine. Moving on. Rolling Stones. That's right. We're talking about the Rolling Stones. Keep some of you boomers on board with me here, because I know I was probably losing you with the 6ix9ine talk. Ronnie Wood. He had an ex-wife named Jo Wood, and she said, look, I got alien blood. Kind of interesting, right? I'm going to read you from her quote because it seemed a little tongue-in-cheek. It says, they asked her about aliens. She said, I'm sure they're among us. I might have had a few boyfriends that were aliens. A psychic once told me I had alien blood in me, so you never know. It takes one to know one. Now, the reason they were talking to her is because she had seen a bunch of UFOs in her past. She's seen aliens while on tour with the Rolling Stones, which to me makes sense if we try to squeeze in a quick thought about the psychic connection of man calling upon these aliens through psychic doorways. All right. If you want more, read my two books on it. Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 on Amazon. It's on Audible. That explains the whole thing. But to me, it seems like this is another example of such a thing. Mick Jagger infamously was messing around with Kenneth Anger, an Aleister Crowley follower and Satanist. And Mick Jagger did the score for a couple of his films. He did Invocation for My Demon Brother. He was supposed to play the role of Lucifer in Lucifer Rising. Because he was messing around with this witch, Marianne Faithfull, an admitted witch, back in the 60s, right? 70s. And she was really into Kenneth Anger and the occult, and that's what got him into it. And infamously, after Altamont, the outdoor concert, the one where they had hired Hell's Angels to do security, and then a man in the crowd pulled out a gun or a knife. What was it? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Hell's Angels killed this guy right in front of Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. And they did it right after they had been playing Sympathy for the Devil. And they went on record. I forget which one of the Rolling Stones said this. They said, something weird always happens when we play that song. And this freaked Mick Jagger out. There was a lot of dark energy there that night, and he talks about it. In fact, George Lucas this is his first time behind a video camera. He filmed the Altamont concert. He filmed at the end, you'll see a bunch of crazy fans coming up over a hill and the moon in the background. Real wild stuff, right? I talked about this in the Star Wars conspiracy book that I wrote. But after Altamont, Mick Jagger was like, dude, I seen some dark stuff there. I'm not messing around with this crazy witchcraft, occult, Aleister Crowley, Satan stuff anymore. I'm done. So he offered up his brother, Chris Jagger, to take his place as the role of Lucifer in Kenneth Anger's film. And if you've never seen Lucifer Rising, guess how it ends? Plot spoilers. But they do satanic rituals, and here come the UFOs flying over ancient Egypt by the pantheon of gods. And of course, you know, this ties into the story of Charles Manson, because Bobby Beausoleil, a member of the Manson family, he was hanging out with Kenneth Anger. He was in a bunch of his films. You could tie this into Wizard of Oz, because they had the Power Magic House of Oz band. I mean, it goes on and on. Like, this is a bizarre, huge story. And of course, Jimmy Page and from Led Zeppelin was in on this. Crazy stuff. Moving on, Ghislaine Maxwell. There's a big conspiracy theory going around right now that she was at Disney in 1985, right? And oh boy, Disney's really going through it right now, all right? They've always had this history of weird, improper sexuality that the rational side of the conspiracy theory is that, look, there were some weird artists that thought it would be funny and crude to put a penis on the cover of Little Mermaid VHS tape. They thought it'd be funny in Lion King to have the letters of some dust say S-E-X. But they've always had this weird stuff, right? All these weird conspiracies. But it seems to be that, and look, things got real fuzzy. Like I talked about earlier with the pizza emails, things got real weird. We had a lot of unanswered questions. You've got all this Epstein stuff. You've got all this child, abuse stuff. All these things are real. And it seems that there has been an attempt to shove this into some kind of weird right-wing agenda through QAnon. And I argue that's by design. That is being done to dismiss the larger role at play here. All right. And this is what's happening right now is there's a conspiracy about, oh, you know, Disney doing all this crazy stuff. Because there was a cartoon in Europe, a Europe cartoon called Bladeed or something like that, where Mickey is clearly seen holding what looks like an erection. And this is now being conflated with Florida's Don't Say Gay bill, which I don't follow it that deep. From what I understand, the governor wants to make it so that teachers at the schools can't talk to children about their, you know, gender or sexuality or whatever. I don't have kids. It's not my state. Whatever. Seems kind of weird to just ignore things like that, but whatever, man, I don't know. Either way, they're tying it all together now. And now there seems to be this pushback against Disney and some real hot water about how they're really into messing around with the kids. And look, there's a lot of weird stuff going on there. A lot of weird stuff, and this does not help anything. There's a photo of Ghislaine Maxwell at what looks like Disney World in 1985. And I saw this on Reddit. The best comment on Reddit, by the way, referring to Ghislaine Maxwell. It says, now she's in the unhappiest place on earth. But I'm bummed. there wasn't actually a lot of substance. It was literally just a photo of her with Donald Duck speaking with a microphone. It says, Happy Family Disney Day 1985. And it's sponsored by The Mirror, which I found odd, right? It's a British tabloid magazine owned by Ghislaine's daddy, Robert Maxwell, back in the 80s, before he got Epstein'd. Fun fact, The Mirror was started, because I looked into it a little bit, The Mirror was started by some guys who were buds with Hitler and Mussolini. Like any good capitalist back in the day, they were supporting these fascist dictators. Like, you know, we did it in America here. I think it was like Henry Ford and stuff. A lot of people sent a lot of money over to support Hitler before all the, you know, Holocaust stuff happened. But in the 90s, Piers Morgan was the editor of The Mirror. And there were some recent photos of him hanging out with Ghislaine that he's been trying to distance himself from. Another curiosity, The Mirror, a curious name, right? The Mirror. Well, a mirror is an occult symbol. It's a symbol of transformation. It's a symbol of the entrance to the mystical realm, a new world. That's why in Disney's Alice in Wonderland, you've got Alice through the Looking Glass, which I believe is the name of the sequel, or the second book, I should say. Anyhow, if you go to, there's a website, strangesounds.org, they've got some screenshots of this Disney debacle, right? And they point some things out. They've got they've got some weird stuff. They got screenshots of a Disney cruise line with no date. I don't know when this was from. There was a Disney cruise line that had a Captain Nautica snorkeling expedition. And you can see in the description that they take kids to Little St. James Island, which is notoriously Epstein Island, right? Is this real? I don't know. You know, if you've been following the Kardashians, which I don't really, but how can you avoid it? There recently were confirmations that Khloe, or I don't know, one of them, was photoshopping the kids. Sorry, my dog is, Jelly Bean is really annoying, okay? She heard me up here podcasting, and she's got to be involved in everything. So I brought her in. Anyhow, one of the Kardashians was saying they photoshopped one of the kids into a photo of them at Disney World. Why? And why would you admit it? Like, it's just bizarre. Like, the nature of reality is so in a state of flux right now. So I say all that to say this. Like, I don't know for a fact that that they were taking kids to snorkel on Little St. James Island. But there's a screenshot right there. So begs the question. Now, as far as what Ghislaine was doing there in 1985, if you go to a thread on Steemit, you can find some claims made that the Mirror, the tabloid magazine, held Disney Day at Lord and Lady Bath's Longleat House in Wiltshire. As an American, all them British names, it sounds like everything sounds wonky doodle. You know, they got like weird names for stuff. Anyway, they did this Disney Day where Ghislaine presented a check for a fund called Save the Children on September 13th, 1985. Now, is that real? And if that's real, how strange and ironic, because if you recall, the Q movement modeled themselves after that same type of drive, Save the Children, or Save Our Children. In fact, in Salt Lake, if you drive down Beck Street, for years now, it's been going on for years, they've got this big tractor trailer truck with, like, you know, Trump 2020 and Save Our Children and all that stuff. Very strange. Anyway, so that's Ghislaine. She's back in the news, back at it. Next, Lotto. She's a rapper. Maybe you've heard of her. She's got that song, BDE, Big D Energy. You know what I'm saying? The radio version is Big, Big Energy. Good song. But she dropped her album, her debut album. And it's called 777, which, you know, we've talked about that number many times on the show. It's a power number in the occult. Is that what she's drawing in? She's drawing down occult powers? She's manifesting something into her life? I think so. Now, the superficial, rational, boring answer to this is that it's a play on her name. Her name is Lotto, L-A-T-T-O, but it also could be a play on Lotto, L-O-T-T-O, which means lottery, all right? You go to the casino and you play the lottery. You play the slot machine. You pull the handle. You used to pull a handle. And if you can get 777 up, you win the jackpot, all right? But that's the boring example. Who cares about that? No one cares about that. I don't care about it. So let's talk about that number 777, because, you know, I've realized in the last few months, I've had some realizations. Let's get vulnerable for a second. I've decided that on my shows, sometimes I gloss over these topics. And more often than not, I hear people say, "What the hell are you talking about, dude? I don't know what that means." Because I forget that some of you haven't been on this for 5-6 years, like, you know. So I'm going to try my best in the future to explain some of these ideas. Some of it will be repeated for you pros out there that already know it all. You're just going to have to bear with us. This is a learning experience for all of us. I'm learning too. So we're going to talk about 777 for just a minute, all right? 777, it represents the Holy Trinity. It was also used, because of it's the number of creation, right? But we're talking about the occult. And in the occult, it was also used by Aleister Crowley, because he had a book called Liber 777. It's a book of signs and symbols and codes for ritual magic, all right? And the seven also represents the lightning bolt. When you look at the Kabbalistic tree of life, you look at the path of the spirit. They believe the spirit descended from heaven, from God, and it descended down into matter, into this base realm, the bottom Sephirot on the Kabbalistic tree of life called Malkuth. Kind of like the idea of the Holy Spirit coming down as the dove in the Holy Transfiguration. But they think we're trapped on this hellish earth, this Kether, they call it, right? Or I'm sorry, Malkuth. It comes from Kether. That's the realm of the god. And our spirits of light, are trapped in this matter. Matter is this, you know, evil thing. Well, if you get into Aleister Crowley's stuff, he talks a lot about the Whore of Babylon. And he attributes her with two numbers, 156 and 777, with a seven-pointed star being used to represent her symbolically. And it represents the Whore of Babylon, who brings the end times. She brings the apocalypse, the revelation. Okay? She's the mother of abominations. And in Crowley's Book of Lies, he has a poem called Babylon and the Beast She Rideth, which says, seven are the veils of the dancing girl and the harem of it. Seven are the names, seven are the lamps beside her bed, seven eunuchs guard her with drawn swords, no man may come near her, and so on. But it goes on to talk about how her name is Babylon, which has seven letters in it. And the gematria of Babylon, B-A-B-A-L-O-N, comes out to 156, which is the correspondence table of John Dee, who wrote this Enochian language, which was the language with which they could talk to aliens. It's crazy, right? Long story. But Babylon, she represents the sexually liberated female. She rides on the beast, and she's holding the reins of the beast. She controls the carnal impulses of sex magic. Katy Perry infamously did that at the Super Bowl, if you remember. She holds the flame of life. She creates, she destroys. She ushers in entire ages, right? That's why Jack Parsons was doing the Babylon working ritual, trying to call upon the Scarlet Woman. She's the gateway of the sun. She guards the solar impulses, the phallic energies. Which is very much makes sense on an intuitive level. Like the females, you know, kind of control the men through their phallic, sexual, carnal desires. But she transmits the solar energies of the male, and she creates life in the womb, obviously, right? So those are some of the ideas behind what 777 means. Arguably, that's what Lotto is showing us. Now, Lotto didn't do this on her own, right? Beyonce also did this, if you recall. We talked about a Disney movie she did called Black as King, which is an episode you can't miss. That's another big banger. Unfortunately, and I hate to do this, I had to be the guy who keeps doing this, but that was actually a bonus episode we did on Patreon. You can only get it on Patreon or the VIP section. Sorry. But my apology will be backed up with the pertinent information from that analysis, so you don't have to go do it. But if you want to support the show, you know where to go. You can get a lot more on this. But I'm going to tell you the element that fits into this narrative. All right. In the Black is King Disney video that Beyonce made, this movie, she talks about how she throws up her diamond. Right. She throws the diamond up, the rock diamond, and she says the children are her reminder. Okay, now what does that mean? What's she talking about here? Well, if you look at it from the occult terms, she's doing the triangle of manifestation, which makes sense because as we learned about with the Scarlet Woman, they transmit the solar phallic energies. They create life. All right. Now, if you look at the Ordo Templi Orientis, a magical order, if you look in Book 6, they have the sign of the grades and the fourth degree of the fire goddess. All right. It says, raise the arms above the head and join the hands so that the tips of the fingers and the thumbs meet, formulating a triangle. All right. Which is exactly what Beyonce does in Black is King. And you've seen that image before. People attribute it to, oh, that's Jay-Z. He made Rockefeller Records and, you know, the rock, the diamond. He throws it up. Maybe, or maybe they're using some of these occult energies to manifest their own reality as gods. They are the gods. They are celebrities. How did they get there? Sometimes they tell you. If you know how to pay attention. But the fourth degree of the OTO is for the planet Venus. It's the goddess, right? Now, here's what's real interesting about when we dug into the Black is King and all the symbolism of that. That Disney movie, which had her falling to Earth like an alien, right? The fallen angel. We looked at a website that describes Babylon as well. It says, Babylon is described in her aspects as a natural force who embodies both the lust of the spirit and the liberation of the human spirit. In sacred geometry, she is the feminine principle. Her equivalent is the flower of life. She is also an eternally fertile force equated to Mother Earth and Gaia. All right, sounds kind of like what we've been talking about already. But let's keep reading. In the animal kingdom, her incarnation is the queen bee, the mother of all bees in a hive. At the height of the productive season, a queen bee will mate and lay eggs continuously day and night. Without her, a colony will cease to continue surviving. Now, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? They say right there, Babylon in the animal kingdom is the queen bee. And the bee, of course, symbolic of Freemasonry. I live in Utah, which is full of Freemasonry symbolism all over the place. It's on our flag everywhere. The beehive. The queen bee. And as you know, Beyonce is notoriously known as Queen Bee by her cult of loyal followers. Every time I post about Beyonce, I get hate. They hate it. But there you go. I mean, officially, Beyonce doesn't acknowledge any of this, but it sure is a lot of weird connections. And I would argue, and also, by the way, in Black is King, you see 777 flash by. You see it. It's subtle. You got to look for it, but I found it. And I posted that on my Instagram back when we, what was that, summer of 2020, I think? Oh, dear. Anyhow, Lotto. I think she's doing the same thing. I think she's like, look, I want to be rich and famous like Beyonce. I'm going to do that too. And that's, and her big coming out song is about, you know, sexual impulses. Big dick energy. That's what it's all about. And the front of the album, she's on the wheel of death with the knives, you know. But if you look at the back, she's inside of a cage. This is the bird cage. This is the symbol of, you know, Project Monarch, mind control, fracturing of the mind. A lot of people talk about, if you watched 50 Shades of Grey, as I did in the theater with the lovely Josie Weishaupt, in the room in which the guy's like the handler, right? And when old girl hooks up with him, he puts her in his bedroom and is, you know, he's loaded, right? He's got a little private jet and all that, right? He puts her up in the bedroom and the wallpaper has bird cages on it, I think, right? If I remember correctly. And, you know, they tie it in all kinds of wacky, you know, sexual abuse ideas. Beyonce's been in the bird cage. A lot of people are depicted in bird cages in pop culture. So that's Lotto, apparently embracing the Babylonian spirits of the goddess. Next, Dua Lipa. Speaking of scarlet women, Dua Lipa and Meg Thee Stallion. Two of my favorites. They have a video called Sweetest Pie. And it's all about the Scarlet Woman. That's right. The Whore of Babylon. Jack Parsons. And if you read the credits, it's a concept that was created by Meg Thee Stallion. So she's the one that came up with this, supposedly. And you remember, she, speaking of birdcages, she had that alter ego of Tina Snow, based upon Pimp C's Tony Snow. Anyhow, they're in the Garden of Eden. The video starts out, they're in the Garden of Eden. They're singing from inside of a vagina. So we've got a very sexually charged female sexual liberation sort of vibe going on there. And here comes Dua Lipa. She's got the horns of Maleficent on her head. She's got a spider under her skin. She's kind of evil. Like, she's the embodiment of evil here. And the guys, they start getting lured in because they want to make sexy time, right? And who can blame them? And they start eating cake and stuff, symbolic of you know what. But you'll quickly notice, if you watch the video, and I'm going to put the images up on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe, link in the show notes, as always. You'll notice human furniture. Yes, our favorite topic, human furniture, it's back in rotation. And I hate to do this again to you, but the bonus episodes I'm dropping in April on the Patreon VIP Rockfin trifecta of supporter systems, we talk about the film Fresh in the One, and then we talk about a book written by a guy named Kurth Barker, Cannibalism, Blood Drinking, and High Adept Satanism. That's going to be on the third bonus episode, dropping real soon. And why not, right? I'll give you a taste of my sweetest pie. I'm going to give you some information, because I don't like just dangling this over your head like a real jerk. Because some people can't afford to support the show, and I get it. I don't want your money. If you can't afford it, don't do it. But I got a quote. This is what we talk about in episode, my third bonus episode for April, from Kurth Barker's book, a passage about, and Kurth Barker, he's this guy who claims he was born and raised in this Illuminati family, and he was participated and witnessed all this cannibalism, blood drinking, Satanism stuff. That's the short version of it. And my takeaway is, as sensational as it sounds, the book seems like it's kind of a real story. I don't know. Kind of weird. But I'm going to read to you. There's a part where he talks about like different videos he watched of the Illuminati doing debaucherous things. Listen to this. Someone had expertly stuffed her body in the way that taxidermists do with animals. Her corpse was posed like the Venus de Milo statue, but now it was held in place with the help of a metal bar behind it. In this film, on a bench in front of this stuffed corpse, were a man and a woman wearing masks, having sex together. Oh boy. We're talking about human furniture, human art at this point, right? And if you watch Eyes Wide Shut, which obviously has all these elements, I interviewed Ryan Page 2 years ago. He talked about it. If you watch Eyes Wide Shut, the orgy scene, they're all wearing masks, of course. It's a satanic ritual. Impregnation of the goddess, the Babylonian spirit, you could argue, unleashed in this mansion owned by the Rothschilds. And you'll see human furniture. They're actually having sex on someone who's human furniture. And the reason they do all this, the reason they're cannibals, the reason they're drinking the blood, the reason they make people act as furniture, it's degradation of the flesh, degradation of the human nature. Why would they do that? Well, they think that they're a status above us. They think that, and Kurth Barker talks about the Sphinx. And the real meaning of the Sphinx, as he was told by the Illuminati, is that it used to have the head of a lion. Because, you know, it's the body of a lion and the head of a pharaoh. But he says that it's a mixture of things. It's the body of a lion because the lion is the apex predator. The ultimate predator. The highest sort of, you know, from social Darwinism ideas, the highest form of nature there. As far as the pecking order goes, right? And the lion would eat humans. It'll eat. It's a cannibal, sort of, right? It eats meat. And it has the head of a pharaoh to symbolize that men, certain high elected people like the pharaohs, would do the same thing. That's the idea. Anyway, we go deep into it. If you ever wanted to try those supporter feeds, this is the month you really should. Because the Fresh and the Barker Book Club are going to be some of the most insane things you've ever heard. Insane connections. So anyhow, here we are with human furniture in Dua Lipa and Meg Thee Stallion's video. We confirm that Meg Thee Stallion is in hell. She's got a little demon chicks dancing around her and whatnot. Dua Lipa, she takes a slice of cake, a slice of her own face. She's eating human flesh. Yes, of course, ties into this conversation. We saw Katy Perry do the same thing. We talked about Katy Perry a minute ago as the Babylon at the Super Bowl. She had a video with the Migos. Same thing. They eat her like a piece of cake. The men that are down in this hell trying to make sexy time, they try escaping, but they turn the tables and they get tied up, and they tie up Dua Lipa and Meg Thee Stallion as witches, all right? On this, they're like on Planet Penis. There's phalluses everywhere. And Dua Lipa's singing, "You've never been to heaven, have you?" All right? Well, the women, being sexually liberated and strong, they break free from being burned at the stake like witches. They destroy all the fellas. They destroy Planet Penis. Bring down the patriarchy, right? And the Scarlet Women destroy the world as we know it, which is the role of the Scarlet Woman. That's what Jack Parsons was doing when he tried to summon the spirit through the Babylon workings. So that's the video. And the weirdest part about the video, if you could believe this, is at the very end, Meg Thee Stallion, she's back down in hell, and she gets ensnared by a giant cobra. And the giant cobra gives her an orgasm. Yes. Very weird. And she had like this forked tongue in the video. It's bizarre. It's really dark. You got to see the pictures. Take a look at the images on the Instagram. I'll post them up. Finally, Will Smith. Big Willie Styles all in it. There's been a lot going on since the last time we talked about him. It's a ton. Where do we even start? Where do we even start? I'm going to go, okay. Let's start with a theory we talked about on Breaking Social Norms. Me and Josie did an episode on this whole thing. And the theory I floated was that this Jada and Will got a big check, right? Maybe they got $1 billion from Pfizer. Because Pfizer, as you know, hosted the Oscars or sponsored the Oscars. And that would check out because, you know, Will, he makes $10, $20 million a movie. Like, he makes a lot of money, but it ain't $1 billion. He would throw all that away and be like, cool, I never have to act again. I'm going to go up and slap Chris Rock to raise awareness of alopecia because Pfizer is creating an alopecia cure. And why not, right? Why not get the publicity from that? The other idea that fell out from that, and this is one that I'm starting to sort of warm up to, that maybe this is the thing. Maybe Will Smith was mind controlled like a Manchurian candidate from Jada Pinkett Smith. Leah Remini asserts that Jada Pinkett Smith is a high level Scientologist. OT level, right? And, you know, I joked about this on Breaking Social Norms with Josie about this is like Will Ferrell in Zoolander, right? When the Prime Minister of Malaysia. And she being the operating Thetan level, clear Theta or whatever, maybe sent him up. Because remember when the video showed him, he was laughing at the joke. She was like, she rolled her eyes. And then the next thing you know, Will's stomping up there doing this crazy stuff. And he's crying and blubbering later. It's bizarre. Now, we're going to come back to that in a minute. Dr. Anteater sent me a shocking video of Will Smith in the 90s. I think, is he interviewed by Oprah? No, Barbara Walters, I think, was interviewing him. And he says that AIDS was a genetic warfare experiment, a disease created in a lab. And it turns out Will's got quite a fair amount of history messing around with different AIDS things. The movie I Am Legend, allegedly a metaphor for everyone having AIDS. In 2005, Will Smith hosted a Mandela event for HIV and AIDS awareness for the second time. Willow and Jaden, they're ambassadors for Project Zambi, a global initiative for children that are orphaned by AIDS. Will Smith narrated a film called A Closer Walk, a documentary about HIV and AIDS, created by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, by the way. So I mean, who knows what's going on there? But in the 90s, he apparently said that, and it could be that he got hooked up with Jada, and she's controlling him, mind controlling him, because that's a real 180, okay? There's a Higher Hippies on Instagram sent me this video of Will Smith. It was really bizarre. He's like, look, I'm not real. None of this is real. Like a simulation Earth kind of video. Maybe you can find it, but at the end, an alien lizard paw grabs the whole world and has it in its hand, like a marble. Now, I've never seen Men in Black, if you can believe that. I never liked Will Smith. I liked Fresh Prince until I seen him take Martin's bit, and then I was like, man, F Will Smith. He's a good actor, though. But I've never seen Men in Black. Josie asserts that that's a Men in Black reference. I didn't know that, so whatever. Oh man, what else is there? The MTV Video Music Awards in the year 2000. We're going to get juicy here in a minute, so hang in there, all right? We got to plow through some of this other stuff so we're fully caught up. In the year 2000, the MTV VMAs, a very weird thing happened. I shared this video on my Instagram. Sean Wayans, who was very popular back then, he was hosting and he was putting on a bit pretending he was Chris Rock, all right? And in the bit, he's roasting celebrities, kind of like Chris Rock was doing at the 22 Oscars. And in the thing, Puffy, or fake Puffy, an actor pretending to be Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, he gets up from the front row and slaps Sean Wayans, who's playing Chris Rock. How bizarre is that? And the real weird stuff is that it was after Chris Rock. It was like two jokes after Chris Rock, you know, Sean Wayans, makes a joke about Eve looking like Cisco. And if you don't know who those people are, back in the 90s, there were these rappers, Eve and Cisco, and they both had really short hair. So again, another joke about short hair. It's almost like this already happened. Some weird Mandela effect, CERN, time portal stuff. I don't know. It's really weird. And in fact, in the same like 30-second clip, the video, it pans through the crowd and it shows Will Smith laughing. So bizarre. And to make things weirder, at the 22 Oscars, after the slap, the next person to go on stage, Puff Daddy, Diddy. And he tried to claim things would smooth over and all this stuff. So bizarre. Also shared a video about an interview forever ago Will Smith did with Tavis Smiley talking about alchemy. Talks about how he manifests reality, which is what he talks about in his self-titled book, Will, which is what that means. It's not Will as in his name, Will Smith. It's Will as in do what thou wilt. And I say that because he's the one talking about this stuff. And as you recall, his Instagram, before they went up, before the slap, hours before the slap, they posted on his Instagram, it says he's about to bring the chaos tonight. There's a weird, weird mix of stunts going on with this event. We're going to get to the bottom of it, though. But anyway, as you recall, Denzel Washington pulled Will Smith aside right after the slap and supposedly said, hey, look, man, when you're at your highest point, the devil comes after you. Well, he kept that energy going. He was interviewed by T.D. Jakes. I'm going to read you from the SeattleMedium.com. Denzel Washington was a guest and speaker at Bishop T.D. Jakes' Leadership Summit on Saturday. During the two-hour discussion about faith and his award-winning acting career, Washington was asked about the infamous slap and what happened afterward. Quote, well, there's a saying, when the devil ignores you, then you know you're doing something wrong. You know, the devil goes, oh no, leave him alone. He's my favorite. Don't bother him. Conversely, when the devil comes at you, maybe it's because you're trying to do something right. And for whatever reason, the devil got a hold of that circumstance that night. Fortunately, there were people there, not just me, but others in the gap. Tyler Perry came right immediately right over there with me. Washington would not say what the three men spoke or prayed about after the incident. "Who are we to condemn?" Washington asked. "I don't know all the ins and outs of the situation, but I know the only solution was prayer." Look at Denzel go, man. Yeah, so he stayed on that. This is some demonic energy stuff going. And if Will Smith is messing around with Scientology in the same way that Jada Pinkett Smith is, it could be, right? It could be. And we're going to talk about that. When we hear about August Alsina, you're going to be like, whoa, what you talking about, bro? See, we hit the 1 hour mark and my throat starts giving out. That's why I do these shows at 1 hour. Someone asked me that on Instagram. I shoot for an hour because after an hour, I'm like trashed. Okay, now recently I did Infinite Fringe with Billy Ray Valentine and Mr. Gates. And on that show, we talked a lot about Will Smith. All right. Now, one idea that dropped out of that we need to cover, you should listen to that episode. It's really good. It's on Billy Ray Valentine's Infinite Fringe. Quincy Jones and Tupac, they hated each other. Tupac, right? I talked about this in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, because Quincy Jones has a lot of weird connections with Michael Jackson and Tupac and all this stuff. And if you recall, Tupac was dating Quincy Jones's daughter when he died, Kidada Jones. And as Mr. Gates pointed out when we were discussing this, Notorious B.I.G., when he got killed, was leaving a party for Vibe magazine, which was started by Quincy Jones. All right. And Quincy and Mr. Gates said, "Look, I remember this book by LL Cool J about Kidada," and he talks about how he dated Kidada Jones and she was into witchcraft. And I looked it up and I couldn't get the book electronically. I should just buy it used, but Lipstick Alley reported this. It says, "LL Cool J and Kidada Jones dated from 92 to 94. In his book, I Make My Own Rules, LL said he cared about Kidada and respected her, but he broke up with her because of her spirituality beliefs. Quote, she would go to an ashram, consult a guru, and pray to statues." Which, by the way, sounds just like when I covered in, was it February 2020, I talked about the death of Kobe Bryant and how he had written two kids' books. And in the kids' books, it's embracing dark arts and Luciferian concepts. Sounds bizarre. You got to listen to him to believe it. And in the one book, the kid worships the statue of the devil, Lucifer, or whatever it is, under different names. So I'm kind of reading between the lines. You got to listen to those shows if you don't believe me. But here we go, talking about praying to statues. "Before my album 14 Shots to the Dome dropped, Kidada told me she threw some kind of stick into the eternal fire for my album. I was like, yo, why did you do that? I didn't ask you to do that. That joint flopped crazily. Oh well, I'm sorry I cared," she said. I had hurt her feelings, but she had hurt me too. I know she meant well, but I just couldn't get with that. She took me to her guru once, and I remember kneeling before this strange young woman who was touching feathers." All right, so, I mean, is Quincy and his daughter messing around with this stuff? Maybe, right? Now, my argument presented about Jada Pinkett Smith being an OT Theta Clear operating Thetan was that, look, Charles Manson was the same way. He supposedly was OT Theta Clear. And if you read Manson's book in his own words, I'm going to read to you from this. This mind control he learned at McNeil Penitentiary. He says, and I quote, "The subject that interested me was understanding and knowing my own mind. I studied hypnotism and psychiatry. I read whatever books I could find and understand that dealt with mind development. A cell partner turned me on to Scientology. With him and another guy, I got pretty heavy into Dianetics and Scientology. Through this and my other studies, I came out of my state of depression." And you know where the Manson story ends up, right? And in that same book, he talks about how Bruce Davis was into Scientology as well. Bruce Davis was like his number two. And when we were talking about it, Mr. Gates said this. He said, well, guess what? Speaking of Charles Manson, Guess who was supposed to be at the Sharon Tate house that night for dinner? Quincy Jones, but he infamously didn't go. And if you read GQ, because I wanted to fact check, not fact check it, that sounds bad. Sorry, Mr. Gates, I'm not fact checking you. I wanted more information on it, right? I looked it up. And from GQ, it says this. It says, in early 1969, Steve McQueen called Jones and asked him to go and see a rough cut of Bullet. Jones brought along his hairdresser, a man named Jay Sebring, infamously one of the guys killed that night at the 1050 Cielo. And after the movie, they made plans later that evening. He said, I'll meet you at Sharon Tate's, because I've got some stuff for your hair, Jones remembers. Quote, I was losing my hair. He, and the reason he didn't go, he says, I forgot about it. Oh, man. So, to add more to this weird hair loss thing, apparently, Jay Sebring, was he suffering from alopecia? I don't know. He said he had hair loss, and Jay Sebring wanted him to come to the Sharon Tate residence to do some stuff to fix his hair loss. So bizarre. And then I tried to get even more information on this, and all I could find was a tweet by Scott Feinberg in 2018, and this is what he said. Quote, Quincy Jones says he was invited to be at Sharon Tate's house the night of the Manson murders by Tate's pal, his barber, Jay Sebring, who wanted to give him follicle treatments, but he forgot to go and learned of Sebring's murder the next day from Bill Cosby. Another guy who's abusing women and crazy stuff. Did he have alopecia? Did Quincy Jones have alopecia? That's bizarre. That's really bizarre. Now, some other weird things happened. A 2019 video resurfaced, and I'm going to boogie through this because we're running out of time. A 2019 video resurfaced of Jada Pinkett Smith being mean to Will Smith. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It basically seems like she's real abusive to him. And he's like, look, don't film me in my house. Because she's like, hey, Will, would you say Esther Perel helped our marriage or what? And he's like, I'm going to tell you to not film me, right? Like, I'm in my home. I'm not trying to do this right now. And if you don't know who Esther Perel is, I've actually read a lot of her stuff. She basically pitches the argument that monogamy, on some levels, isn't natural. She's married, like she's a monogamist, but she says, look, the way we understand marriage is very difficult. And you have to find ways to make it work. Like she'll argue that there's taboos and you should sort of play with the taboos to keep sexual variety in a marriage and stuff like that, which I agree with all that stuff. Like, I'm like, you know, being married is tough, right? Ironically, Chris Rock does a great bit on it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, he did it like in the early 2000s, I think. About old P versus new P, if you know what I'm saying. You can, anyway. But yeah, she very much, Esther Perel is very much arguing about a very controversial idea. Like, she's not saying, like, oh, you shouldn't be married. She's married herself. She's just saying, look, monogamy is very difficult. And it goes against human nature in some ways to settle down with one sexual partner forever. I mean, that's a very short version of it. So it could be that they learned to navigate this through an open marriage. And like I talked about on my Instagram, look, people say, oh, Will Smith's a cuck because his wife's sleeping with all these other dudes like August Alsina, who we're going to talk about here in a sec. But it's arguable, like, they had an open marriage. She was a cuck too, apparently, right? And these are two very famous, very attractive people. I mean, who can blame them? They're on different movie sets. They probably rarely see each other. I mean, it probably is just a way they can make it work, that they could stay married and build a life together, even though it's not traditional. So, like, in some ways, I'm like, I get it. I get it. Where were we going with that? Oh, we were just talking about that video, and maybe Will Smith wasn't down for this open marriage concept. and Esther Perel talked them into it, and he kind of regretted it. Like, maybe that's kind of the vibe you get, where she's like, hey, like, she's happy with it, but he's like, man, I don't like this. Even though he's banging chicks till he's throwing up or whatever he's doing. One more weird element before we get into August Alsina, which is kind of the, I'm trying to save it as the bombshell. It's very interesting. So, of course, the joke was that they're going to film G.I. Jane 2 and Jada Pinkett Smith's going to play Demi Moore's character because she's bald like Demi Moore, infamously shaved her head in G.I. Jane to be a Navy SEAL, right? You remember right after the slap, like the next day, Bruce Willis announced that he's going to quit acting because he has this this degenerative disease of the mind, apparently. Very sad. Which it was like, dude, that's kind of weird, because they were just like, Demi Moore's G.I. Jane has just been on the national conversation. Well, another weird thing, and I'm just going to toss this out there. Demi Moore was born in Roswell, New Mexico. Yes, Roswell, New Mexico, where the alien ship landed, where it crashed shortly after Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard from Scientology were opening up portals for aliens with the Babylon working. Are these things all connected? I don't know. This sounds really weird, right? And also, to throw some more weird fodder at you, in Independence Day, Will Smith punches the alien at Roswell. Yes, he says, welcome to Earth, and he punches him in the face. Crazy stuff going on with this Will Smith thing. Lastly, August Alsina. He's an R&B singer, right? And shout out to Bryce. He slid in my DMs and sent me this link. I don't know how I missed it. The article is on XXL, a hip-hop magazine. It says, August Alsina says he's not having sex in order to summon energy for spells that have been casted. I'm going to read you from it. It says, August Alsina has offered a tidbit on his sex life, revealing the true reason why he's chosen to abstain from sex. Following the release of his recent record, Shake the World, on Tuesday, April 5th, which many deduced that the New Orleans-bred crooner was referencing his headline-making entanglement with Jada Pinkett Smith, August held an impromptu Q&A with fans on Twitter, where he spoke on withholding from sex. Talks about, I guess, rappers Kevin Gates and Joey Badass have spoken about semen retention, like a tantric idea of because in the occult, in Tantra, the energy of orgasm can be utilized by a magician. So you don't want to just let it go. Are they doing that? I don't know. They talk about the health benefits. Anyhow, in a response to a fan who wrote August Alsina and said, when we shake in my bed, and he replied, I ain't having sex. I gotta keep harnessing my energy and life force to continue summoning energy for all the spells that have been casted. And in a follow-up tweet, a fan typed, this N-word, August Alsina, just said I put a spell on you. So we playing with voodoo now? August responded with, who said we playing? Adding a thinking and smirk emoji. While it was unclear whether or not August was joking around, he confirmed to XXL that his tweets are truth. As far as the song the former 2014 XXL freshman dropped, which people surmised, it uncovered minor details of August and Jada's relationship. August said at the end of the first verse, I heard it's some shit that's bound to go down when you got $1 billion on the elevator. Well, of course, some shit was bound to go down when you tangled up with the world's favorite. Now, of course, a reference to, who talks about I think it was Jay-Z talked about $1 billion on the elevator, because if you recall, Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Solange were all in an elevator, and I think it was a Solange slapped Jay-Z because allegedly he had an affair or something like that. But the elevator, in terms of symbolism, is reference to the devil. Talked about that many times as well. If you want more on that, check out my, what's a good one? Check out the weekend Super Bowl performance leading up to the Super Bowl. I did a couple shows on the weekend. Talk about the devil in the elevator. So there you go. Augustine Cena says that he's got spells casted upon him related to sexual energy. Is Jada Pinkett Smith messing around with all these occult dark arts? She messed around with mind control. Allegedly, she's into Scientology. Charles Manson allegedly brainwashed his people using tricks of Scientology. You've got the connections with Roswell, with Demi Moore, and Will Smith punching the alien, and Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, from the founder of the Church of Scientology, doing rituals to Babylon, punching holes in the portals. Lots of weird strangeness happening right now. I've been following all this pop culture stuff for years, and this is a very strange time. I got to tell you, it's very weird. Is it scary? I don't know. I mean, it depends on how you want to frame this stuff. I try to approach this stuff and understand it from a rational point of view, but ultimately, I try to look at the world as a big game, right? A lot of people talk about this. The world's just a big game. And I try to stay attracted to the positivity and light, you know, Christ, whatever. Some people call it Christ consciousness. Because ultimately, like, none of this is going to matter. Eminem said, all this shit doesn't mean shit where we're going. And that's kind of what you got to keep in mind. It's like, you know what? This is just all distractions. As long as you're able to find the time to embrace the qualities of the world of what you want to do right now, you know, family, love, relationships, then you're doing all right. And we can talk about all these celebs and move on with our day. Now, if you want to support the show, you know where to go. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab, pick your favorite one. I got their patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, which is probably like your easiest, most seamless way of doing this. Or you can go to my VIP section, or you can go to my Rockfin. I got links for all that in the show notes. Check it out. See what you think. Go ad-free. Get all these bonus episodes. I'm talking about 100 plus for this month alone. My goodness. Thank you for listening to the show. Till next time, stay woke.